We have a guest speaker today who is no stranger to Crossroads, and that is Kurt Asherman. He has been with us many times. Yay, Kurt! Where is he? Are you over there or are you over here? Here he is up here. And he's going to come and bring us a message that's also part of the series Strong Living.
Well, good morning, Crossroads. It's nice to be back. It's been almost a couple of years, which means I must have really wowed you the last time. It took you 2 years to invite me back. It's a joy to be here, though. I love coming to this sanctuary especially. I love to see the faces that I can't see behind the masks. This is a different kind of place. I've always believed Crossroads is different. There's a sense of the presence of God in almost everything that goes on here. And I love coming here. So you've had some transition. So have I. I got married since the last time we were together. Can you tell? I married an Italian. Best cook since the invention of food. Say hello to my wife, Anna, right there. She's waving. Anna is sitting where I hope to see Mary Helen Nickelberry. That's her row right there, right? That's her seat. Mary Helen not here today because of the cold. And that's disappointing, but we love to see the queen, right? She's the queen. All hail the queen. Say that with me. All hail the queen. And we know she's watching up there, so we love seeing Mary Helen. You know, when you go to get Mary Helen to pick her up to go someplace, which Anna and I do every once in a while, we take her out to lunch, you go to a guardhouse before you get into her place. And then the guy behind the window opens the door and goes, yes. And I say, I'm here to pick up the queen. Oh, he goes, all hail the queen. The trumpets blare, the confetti goes off. I go pick up Mary Helen, bring her back out. He's still on his knees doing this as I leave. Sometimes I say, I'm here to meet the mayor. And then he goes like this in the Star Spangled Banner. Mary Helen Nickelberry, what a great, great gift. Like Anna is a great gift to me at this stage in my life. And then you've got a new pastor. And I've been with Tim 3 or 4 times now. What a gift you got in Tim Ward. What a gift. He's a little short, but what a gift. What a gift you got in Tim Ward. You can feel the presence in Tim as well. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I want to talk about being grateful for the things in our lives. You know, most of my adult life, I have spent trying to put my spiritual life in a box. I'm trying to identify it, authenticate it, see if I can actually use words to define what I consider a spiritual life, my spiritual life. In doing that, I've used all kinds of tools. I've tried all kinds of things. In our tradition, there are 4 prayer services a day, and it's in a book like this, and it's long, and you have to figure out what page you're on. And I tried praying the offices. I still do pray the offices. I tried beads for a while. Like Ryan Hall's going like this. Ryan, it's really not Satanism, buddy. Really, the beads are not. I tried beads for a while, counting my prayers. What can I get out of this? And nothing really resonated. Nothing really gave me the ability to articulate what I felt my spiritual life was about. And then I had a series of experiences. So I'm going to tell you a couple of stories. Can I tell you a couple of stories? Everybody say, Kurt, tell us a story. Stephanie, this is a participatory. You're supposed to respond when I say it. One of the reasons that we bought our house in Leesburg is because there is a little nook in our bedroom that faces the street. We live right downtown. And one morning I was sitting there in my little nook, and the garbage guys came. Now, garbage collection in Leesburg is quite an enterprise. It wakes up the dead. They make so much noise. And I watched these guys hopping on and off their truck, picking up the garbage. And it hit me all of a sudden, like a bolt of lightning, what in God's name would I do without the garbage men? What would we do with our garbage? What would we do with all this stuff? All the stuff that we collect during the course of a week, we put in these cans. If these guys weren't here, what would I do with it? And I had an overwhelming sense of gratitude for the garbage men. And then the mailman followed right behind him, and I said, what would we do without the mailman? I wouldn't drive to deliver my letters. an overwhelming sense of gratitude for the service being provided by people that we don't even know their names. And the gratitude overwhelmed me. I can't explain it. I had tears watching the garbage men pick up the garbage. Then soon thereafter, I was at a sandwich shop that shall remain nameless, Jersey Mike's. And you know how those work, right? You order your sandwich, you wait for the guy, wraps it up, he goes to the cash register, rings it up, hands you your sandwich, you walk out the door. And there were about four or five customers there and four or five people serving those customers. And there was one man at the cash register, Tom. I knew his name was Tom because he had a Jersey Mike shirt on with his name, Tom. And Tom obviously had some developmental disabilities. And Tom's job in order to go to lunch was to punch in a certain number of numbers into the cash register and a certain number of letters, you could see it, and he had to do that in order to check out for lunch. And he had the darnest trouble trying to find what number to push, what letter to push. And I watched the four people who were serving us sandwiches stand behind him. And I watched the four customers standing with us. And not one of them rushed Tom. Nobody said, "Tom, let me do that for you." We didn't hear anybody say, "Tom, we got to hurry up. We got four customers here." And the customers showed the exact same patience for Tom. And I was overwhelmed in gratitude for the gratitude of compassion in a sandwich shop. I began to sense a pattern here, a pattern that said maybe gratitude is at the heart of what our spiritual life should be. And then my best friend died. Not just my best friend, my brother-like best friend died, unexpectedly. Neil. Neil's Jewish. So I decided what I would do after the funeral is pray Kaddish. Kaddish in the Jewish tradition is a prayer that you pray repeatedly after someone dies, and then you pray it especially on the anniversary of his death. And I read the Kaddish, and the Kaddish had nothing to do with death. It had to do with the glory of God. And I said, well, how am I going to mourn with this? It doesn't really square with how I'm feeling. So I decided, knowing how Neil and I used to function, I would write my own Kaddish. And I sat down with my pen and paper. Would somebody just throw me that bottle of water right there? Don't actually throw it. Maybe you can hand it. And I sat down with a pen and paper. Thank you very much. I just get so nervous in front of the Crossroads crowd. And I sat down and started to write Kaddish, and I was going to write a prayer of mourning. I wanted to mourn for my best friend who had died. And I couldn't, because every time I thought about Neil and I thought about putting something on paper, I started to laugh. He was dead 48 hours, and I was laughing. And I was laughing, and I was repeatedly laughing. I was thinking of all the cockeyed things we had done in 60 years of friendship. We met in a day camp when we were both 13 or 14. 60 years. And I kept laughing and laughing. And Anna kept saying, what are you laughing at? I said, well, I'm trying to write Kaddish for Neil, and I can't do it. And every time I think about it, I start laughing. And I realized that what I was laughing was to cover up the pain because of all the love we shared with each other. And I became overwhelmingly grateful for love that Neil and I experienced over a 60-year period of time. So gratitude became something that was easily identifiable almost every day, almost every minute of every day, in almost everything I did. If I was intentional, if I really worked at it, I could see things to be grateful for in everything I was doing. Certainly the basic stuff, more grateful for the food on my table, more grateful for the fact that I have enough money to house myself. Those are the big things. But I began to see more garbage men. I began to see more people who were being served compassionately. I began to see love differently. And I realized that the spiritual life that I've been trying to put a box around, that I had been trying to identify and articulate, could easily be articulated by saying, I'm grateful for what I have. And gratitude became the heart of a simple description of a spiritual life. Now, why surrender? Well, I also began to realize that in order to identify these opportunities for gratitude, I had to surrender to the moment. I had to surrender to what was going on, and I had to be able to visibly see something to be grateful for. And surrender became an essential element of a spiritual life of gratitude and surrender. And then I read this quote of scripture. Jen, if you would, please. Abide in me and I will abide in you. Pretty simple piece of scripture. Usually you get a whole paragraph or a whole page. All we need is this one line. Abide in me. This is Jesus saying to you and me, if you will abide in me, I will abide in you. If you will surrender to me, I will surrender to you. Now, abiding is an interesting word. We don't use that in our everyday language, do you? We don't say, I abide in Leesburg. It's not a word we use a lot. It's got very special meaning. And the reason Scripture is written this way is because Jesus meant it in a very special way. What he is saying to us is, come live within me, and I will live within you. That's what abiding means. Live within me, and I will live within you. I've seen one translation that said, build a home in me, and I will build a home in you. See, this is not Jesus saying to us, come stand by me. It's not even him saying, come follow me. This is not Jesus saying, let's do this walk together. Jesus is saying, surrender to me, and I will surrender to you. This is powerful stuff, folks. This is Jesus speaking directly to our hearts, directly to our minds and our souls. This is Jesus saying the most basic and fundamental thing. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Surrender to me, and you will experience me in everything you're doing. And you will then be able to be intentional enough to see those times when gratitude becomes an important component. So Jesus is saying to you, walk with me? Yeah. Be with me? Yeah. Follow me? Yeah. Abide in me. It's way more powerful. So all of a sudden, I realized that where I was taking all these different tools, these little tricks of the trade, and I was trying to figure out what my spiritual life looked like and felt like, I didn't need all the tools. They helped me in my relationship with God, but I didn't need all the tools if I would just surrender to him so that he could surrender to me. And so strong living is a great way to talk about the spiritual life, especially the Christian spiritual life. I like this theme. Strong living, though, requires some weakness. And that's what surrender is about, isn't it? This is not a rapprochement. This is not a chance to stop the violence. This is a surrender. It's a complete laying it on the table and saying, that's it. I'm yours. I'm in this. I love the music chosen today. And I know, Susan, you do that around what the message goes. I love the music. And I think we're playing Surrender later. But I am who you say I am is another way to say abide in me. I am who you say I am. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. We gave you little silly bracelets that say gratitude and surrender. I want you to try something for me. I know we take those home and we throw them in the drawer. I'd love for you to wear that bracelet just for one day so that you've got a reminder that we should be looking for things to be grateful for. Just wear it for a day. Maybe you'll wear it for 2 days or 3 days. But go from this place today. Go from Crossroads today with the intention of finding ways to be grateful for what you have and for what you see and for what you do. Go intentionally to do that. And when you do, and when this becomes a habit, and when your strong living includes gratitude and surrender, you will then be abiding in him and he will abide in you. Can I get an amen? Amen.